Hello, everybody. This is Jeff Gerhart on behalf of the Linux Daily. This is show number 2. It is March the 31st, 2004. I'd like to thank our sponsor, ISPCon, the ISP's Conference and Expo. Check it out at ISPCon.com. The conference is running April the 14th through the 16th. If you're into the internet business, you gotta be there at ISPCon, the premier event for the internet industry. Let's start out today by welcoming to the air those folks out at Air America, the new liberal radio network. Response to the success of several conservative talk shows across the country, this new network, Air America, is very well timed, being as that there's a great deal of liberal anger around the country at President Bush dealing with the upcoming electoral season. It's a lot of work to launch a network. We know from personal experience how tough it really is, so best of luck. Look forward to following the story. I talked a little bit about it last night on the Linux show. It's going to be a very, very interesting story to follow over the course of the next year. For sure, if they succeed, those same people that are pushing the conservative talk show will be knocking on the doors of Air America, because what the majority of people don't really realize is that radio is a business and that conservative talk radio is just a product of that business. And I'd be just as happy to welcome a little bit of balance as long as there are listeners. Let's see if the liberal community will go out and listen to that show. Item number 2 today is we're talking about spam. Big news coming from AOL. Traditionally, one of the people I would accuse of fostering most of the spam, or at least a sizable chunk of spam in the world. Give AOL the credit that they are due. They did a great deal of house cleaning over the course of the last couple of years and are now proud to claim that they have targeted many, many individuals that have been users of the AOL network and have eliminated what they consider to be approximately 1 billion junk emails off of their network by prosecuting AOL members. It's been an effective tool for AOL, and the overall subscribers seem to be very, very happy with those efforts of AOL. So AOL is upping the ante a little bit this week, giving their own subscribers a little bit of payback by taking one of, shall we say, the pirate booty that they got from one of the spammers in a settlement of the case. A Porsche Boxster, was confiscated as part of the settlement against one of the spammers, and AOL has now made that Porsche Boxster available to their members, the AOL adult subscribers only, not the minor sponsors. They have to be adults, the bill-paying subscriber themselves, but they can enter a sweepstakes that actually opened yesterday, and there will be a drawing on April the 8th of next week for ownership of this spam-generated Boxster. Great car. It'll be fun for some subscriber to take advantage of that and experience a little bit of payback for a change. More on spam. Spam seems to be hot on Wall Street. A lot of news over the course of the last week coming out about companies involved in various spam technologies. Wall Street has anointed what they consider the big four of independent companies that have put together anti-spam technology. Of those four, there are Tumbleweed, Brightmail, Postini, and CipherTrust. The majority of those companies are having pretty good years so far in 2004. In particular, Tumbleweed, they have had a spectacular 12 months. Their stock has climbed 500% over the last year. That's good by anyone's measure. I find it curious that we seem to be missing such names as Symantec, Cisco, and Microsoft off of this list of leading anti-spam companies. Could it be that Steve Ballmer missed the mark on Monday when he was bemoaning the fact that his company didn't have a search tool, that they have completely missed the boat on anti-spam technology? Once again, Microsoft is shown to be the non-innovator that they truly are. Not surprising in the least. I do want to cut Symantec a little bit of slack, as they happen to own 13% of the stock in its Brightmail. More on spam tomorrow, because there's a number of Linux-based spam appliances that I've been seeing popping up. So we'll bring that issue back tomorrow. But More on Microsoft. It seems Microsoft, again, not being the innovator that they think that they are, is being forced in the position of cutting quite a few titles out of their sports game group for the Xbox. They're just not getting the numbers off of their NFL Fever, NBA Inside Drive, National Hockey League Rivals, and a couple of other of their Microsoft-produced sports games. It seems that they just cannot compete with the EA series of games for the Xbox. So even though Microsoft is the producer of the box itself, they just don't seem to be clever enough, shall we say, reflective enough of the demands of their own users to produce competent games can compete in the open market. Again, not a surprise. Microsoft has never been really known as that much of an innovator. And now to Linux news. Red Hat just concluded their road trip in Toronto yesterday afternoon and ended up successful. The company was using this as an opportunity not only to spread the gospel about Red Hat, but also talk about the opportunity that Red Hat offers as a career. Presently, Red Hat's cut their staffing down to about 100 programmers, and we're using this opportunity to gather talent, save a little money on recruitment. So look for an expanded talent pool in the very near future. And Red Hat's going to need that expanded talent pool because there's a lot of good news coming out of Red Hat in conjunction with the roadshow. Some of the more interesting statistics is the fact that revenue of $37 million is up 11% from the previous quarter alone. That's 11% quarter-to-quarter growth, and that's 43% growth from a year ago. Has reported significant sales numbers, including 87,000 new subscriptions to the Red Hat Enterprise Linux program that they started amongst the Fedora controversy, if you recall, about a year ago. So good things happening out of Red Hat, the kind of news that a company like, SCO would be really proud to report. Speaking of SCO, that's going to be our last story of today, and that is some really important news about the SCO v. IBM case. If you're unaware, IBM, they have asked the judge for a declaratory judgment. This is a significant thing in legal circles, and I encourage you to go to Grok Law to follow the details of the case itself. This is a significant step that IBM is taking. Typically, when you ask for a declaratory judgment, it means that you have thoroughly pulled the case apart and gone over every I and crossed every T, and you just cannot personally find anything. You find no case. Well, we've been talking in the Linux show circles that the evidence that we have been shown by people who have been doing the kernel development, we've been showed nothing. We've been showed details that there is nothing to show. And so we're not at all surprised that IBM is coming to this realization that there just is nothing behind the SCO case, and so are asking if it's time to end this case, and they have asked the judge of that. They, of course, do have to conclude evidentiary process of the case, and as soon as that is over, the judge will rule one way or another on the request for declaratory judgment by IBM. This could be over real quick. I would say, realistically, this could be over within the next couple of months if the judge rules in favor of IBM. We'll watch it, see how it goes. Well, that's it for today. This has been the Linux Daily, brought to you Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Tuesday is our Tuesday night edition of the Linux Show. But thanks for joining us. If you'd like to be a guest commentator or a guest editorialist, email us at staff@geekcast.com and come join us. Join in at the voice of the Linux and open source community. Thanks again to our sponsors, ISPCon, LinuxQuestions.org, and Fuse.com. See y'all tomorrow.